Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever, by the way, let me say first, today's teaching, some reasons you should never feel rejection. We were going to do that yesterday, but I felt a different unction from the Lord, even though it had been written. That's why we talked about faith. But today, we're going to talk about overcoming rejection. So the question is, have you ever experienced rejection? Was the rejection directed at you personally, your performance on the job, your ideas, or your desire for friendship? Perhaps the rejection was in a friendship or relationship. Harvey McKay, the renowned business leader, once said, most fears of rejection rest on the desire for approval from other people. Don't base your self-esteem on their opinions. Rejection can be painful. Rejection is a spirit. Rejection works subtly to destroy your self-esteem and your purpose. Rejection causes you to feel sorry for yourself. It also causes you embarrassment. Rejection spurs you to reject other people before they have an opportunity to reject you. Rejection wants you to base your self-worth on what you do instead of who you are in Christ. That is significant.
It is. And the enemy will definitely feed it. But there is a scriptural way to be a victor over rejection. In Psalm 34, verses 4 through 6, Psalm 34, starting with verse 4 through 6, Living Bible says, "For I cried to him and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Others too were radiant at what he did for them. Theirs was no downcast look of rejection. This poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles." When God sets you free, then you are free.
Free indeed.
That's it. However, dealing with rejection scripturally is a choice we have to make. Mark 4, 11 and 12. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 11 and going down to 12 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "And he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of the circle, everything becomes a parable in order that they may indeed look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest happily they should turn again and it their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them." God wants us to get it, how to deal with rejection. And in Mark 4:13, going on, says in the Living Bible, "But if you can't understand this simple illustration, what will you do about all the others I'm going to tell you?" The best way to deal with rejection is to understand who you really are in Christ.
Amen. Here are seven reasons why you should never feel rejected. First, because of God's great love for us, we are adopted into his family and made joint heirs with Christ. Have you ever been comforted by the love of a parent, best friend, spouse? If so, you know the spiritual confidence that it gives you. 1 John 3:1, Classic Amplified Bible. "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God." And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that they do not know, recognize, and acknowledge him.
That's it.
Knowing who we are in Christ gives us a confidence which will defeat rejection whenever and wherever it rears its ugly head. Romans 8:17, Classic Amplified. "And if we are his children, then we're his heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we're to share his glory. We got to know that we can be totally secure in the most important relationship that we'll ever have in our lives. We have not been rejected, but accepted by God's great love for us.
Get ready to shout. Second, we are made to sit in heavenly places of authority over all demons, sickness, and every other thing that comes against us with Christ. In Acts 1:8, it says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then ye shall become witnesses." The power Jesus promises after the Holy Spirit comes upon us is enabling power. That power in the Greek is called dunamis. And the Greek word for dunamis means ability. So let's look at the verse again as we expand the paraphrase for you. You shall receive the ability after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be able to witness of me simultaneously in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, let's look at dunamis again as it appears in Luke 10:19. Listen, if you shouted on that, you're getting ready to run around the room on this.
That's true.
It is the truth. In Luke 10:19, it shows that God has given us total power over the works of the enemy. Listen to this. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." This first word, power, in the verse is translated from the Greek word exousia. "Behold, I give you power to tread on." Exousia means a delegated power, or better said, authority. The second translation goes back to the Greek word dunamis, even though it's been translated power, which is, as we learned, the word ability. So now let's look at what God's saying to us in Luke 10:19. "I give you authority over all the ability of the devil."
And hallelujah.
I want you to get this. I give you authority over not some, not a little bit, not when I say so. It says when I give you authority over all the ability of the devil, which is why we must know who we are in Christ. So are you getting a hold of this? You have total authority over the enemy. The Bible literally says nothing shall by any means hurt you. It also says that you have total power or authority over the devil. You don't have to lose again. You can triumph and conquer in all things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you kidding? We should be.
Shouting time.
That's exact. If I wasn't being not near a mic, I could run around the place.
Third, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ.
As if the other isn't enough.
Right? I know. Ephesians 1:3, Classic Amplified. "May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy to be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm." God is going to give us every blessing from the heavenly realm. Jeremiah 32:40, New Living Translation. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me." That'd be a great verse to personalize.
Oh, yes.
It absolutely would. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with Larry. I'll never stop doing good for Larry. I'll put a desire in Larry's heart to worship me, and he will never leave me." Not only is God going to cause us to prosper, to make us happy, and walk in his favor, he is never going to stop doing good for us, and he'll never leave us. Now, that's what we call a blessing flow.
Oh, that's incredible. Fourth, we are the righteousness of Christ through faith, thus being made right before God. In Romans 3:22, the Living Bible says, But now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough. Think of that now. This is what the scripture says. Not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by a new way, though not new really, for the scriptures told about it long ago. Now God says we will accept and he will accept and acquit us and declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. That's incredible. Number one, God says he will accept and acquit us. Listen to this. Two, God will declare us not guilty. Three, God will take away our sins. Four, God wants us to be saved. And five, God will forgive us no matter who we are or what we've done. When God saves us, he takes rejection from us. So don't let the enemy put it back on you.
Hallelujah. Fifth, we're entitled to a clean conscience before God because of the blood. And we can have full assurance of faith when we go before him. Hebrews 10:22, classic Amplified Bible. Let us come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts and unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by the learning, by the leaning, not learning, well, you need to learn too. Scripture says, though, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. When we are cleansed by the word, rejection becomes of the thing of the past because it's been put under the blood of Jesus.
Sixth, listen, if you have trouble with rejection, you need to study this. You'll never have trouble again. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and God himself has chosen not to remember our failures. If you've ever felt rejected because your sins haven't been forgiven, then take comfort in these two following verses. Psalm 103:12, New Living Translation. He has removed our sins as far as from us as far as the east is from the west. Wow. And second, Hebrews 8:12 in the New Living Translation says, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins.
Praise the Lord and glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Seventh, we are loved with the same love that the Father has for Jesus himself.
Wow.
Let me say that again. We are loved with the same love that the Father has for Jesus himself. John 17:23, classic Amplified. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved me, you have loved them even as you've loved me. Jesus felt rejection while working on this earth, but when he died, he took it all with him.
Hallelujah.
So we don't need to invite it back into our lives.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Join us tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, Sunday Night Live. Woo. It'll make you shout. Hallelujah.
As if you could shout any more than this one, but you could.
You could.
So join us.
Go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says Sunday Night Live. Join Harold and Bev, and we'll be talking with you then.
That's right.
But until tonight at 6 or tomorrow, every morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.